broadcasting life and truth around the world. You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The mission of CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is to teach discernment and to defend the essential doctrines of the historic Christian faith. Each day, Hank answers questions with a passion for apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cults. If you would like to ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information about CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. To begin today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. It's always great to be in the studio as we answer your questions live on today's broadcast. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information on the web, equip.org, and via the mail, it's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Our resource consultants, they're standing by, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. I've been out of studio for a couple of days. Hope you've enjoyed my podcast with Gary Habermas. We edited that for a release on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but it is now available in its entirety. You can find it at equip.org. He is known as Dr. Resurrection, and it was an appropriate subject in that I was dealing with a good friend of mine, Elliot Miller, who's worked alongside of me for over 30 years at the Christian Research Institute. He was diagnosed with cancer in December of this year, about 8 months after I was diagnosed with cancer. We're both diagnosed with stage 4 cancers, but mine was a cancer that can go into remission. His is a angry bone cancer, and he is suffering visibly from the effects of that cancer. He's in home hospice, and we talked about resurrection. And he is certainly looking forward to the day that he will be resurrected, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible, as is his wife, Corinne. Elliot and Corinne have been fantastic servants, ministers at the Christian Research Institute. Elliot, of course, editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal, and really the person who is most singularly responsible for the advance of this magazine, a magazine that has made such an impact, not only in its editions, but also in its proliferation on the web. Its articles go up on the web, and they touch the lives of people all over the world. I think about some of the articles that have been so significant, like his article on Rajneesh. It's one of the most Googled articles in its space, and he has cast a very, very large shadow. He is now getting ready to go home to be with the Lord. We pray that God will give him peace and strength in the midst of suffering, and I'll keep you updated on how he's doing, but if you could remember Elliot and Corinne Miller in your prayers, it would be deeply appreciated. As I said, they're going through a tremendous time of suffering with a very, very angry cancer. And Elliot is, you know, he's a great personification of what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, because in the midst of a terminal diagnosis, and God, of course, can do anything, but in the midst of a terminal diagnosis, he is exhibiting the most supernatural peace imaginable. You see the reality of the Christian faith in these moments, not just in the good times, but the bad times. You see the reality of the Christian faith, a peace that passes all understanding. But again, prayers for Elliot Miller, deeply appreciated. The number to dial again, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Let's go to the phone lines, talk to George in Houston, Texas. George is listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, George.
I don't know. I believe we're Matthew chapter 24, the pestilence and divers earthquakes and all this. Are we anywhere in the horses yet? Anywhere in the four horses that Daniel, Zechariah, and Revelation speaks of?
None at all. I mean, I think one of the things that we have to realize is that time period has already passed. So all of that information is relevant to us, but we have to recognize that the Bible was not written to us, it was written for us. So if you look at what is going on in the book of Revelation, remember it's written to seven churches, historical churches, in the epicenter of a Caesar cult who are called to be faithful and fruitful. They're going to suffer for a short time. Their vindication is going to be an eternal vindication. Again, it's important when you read the book of Romans that you recognize that Romans was written to first century Roman believers. Again, all the principles apply to us, but Romans wasn't written to us, and neither was the book of Revelation. Now, there's a sense in all of the books of the eternal perspective, which is to say that in Romans, Paul is talking about that eternal vindication that will come, just as John does in the book of Revelation, where he sees the completed bride, the 144,000, pictured as a city. On the one hand, the bride, the wife of the Lamb, is innumerable. On the other hand, the bride is numbered, 12 times 12 times 1,000. So we have to read Revelation in the sense in which it's intended. The four horsemen are not characters that are going to emerge, as it were, in the 21st century, but rather this has to do with a first century epic. I want to mention a couple of other things that are relevant to the show today. One is, I was thinking about Elliot Miller and the Christian Research Journal, the impact he's had on the Christian Research Journal. There's an effective evangelism column written by Wayne Mayhall in this edition of the Christian Research Journal. If you haven't subscribed, you can do so on the web at equip.org. It's called A Christian Response to the Hindu Concept of Spiritual Quest. And Wayne, in this article, is teaching people how to effectively communicate the gospel to people who are wrapped up in a Hindu worldview. Obviously, Hinduism is multifaceted. It's not monolithic, so there are many different Hindu gods. They have a pantheon of gods, but all of them suppose that ultimate reality, or Brahman, is an impersonal oneness that transcends all distinctions. And that includes personal and propositional distinctions. Another way to think about this is that in their view, all of reality is a continuum or a simplified whole. And therefore, in this view, the Hindu view, there's no distinction between morals and mice. All is ultimate oneness, impersonal oneness that transcends distinctions. Hindus also hold that humans, in concert with the rest of the universe, are this continuous extension of what's called Brahman, and thus are illusory individual selves, or Atman, are one with the impersonal cosmic consciousness. Atman is therefore said to be Brahman, and Brahman is said to be Atman. Of course, Hindus have their own scriptures, and these scriptures teach that the goal of humanity is liberation from an endless cycle of death and reincarnation. And until that enlightenment is achieved, the law of karma dictates that our deeds in previous lives determine whether we're born as a man or a monkey, as a woman or a walrus, or you could even turn out to be a wasp. So while the Hindu scriptures tout the hell of reincarnation, Holy Scripture teaches the hope of resurrection that I spoke of with respect to my friend Elliot. And although there are people that think that reincarnation and resurrection can be reconciled, the truth is they cannot be reconciled. In fact, Multitudes today, unfortunately, embrace the odd predilection that the scripture actually promotes reincarnation. In reality, the Bible makes it crystal clear that reincarnation and resurrection are mutually exclusive. The resurrectionist view of one death per person and the reincarnationist view of an ongoing, well, a cycle of death and rebirth are therefore mutually exclusive. And if you read the book of Hebrews, written by the Apostle Paul, there you have emphatically stated that human beings are destined to die once, but after that, they will face judgment and ultimate resurrection. In sharp contrast to an Eastern worldview in which humanity perfects itself through this endless cycle of birth and rebirth, the Christian worldview maintains that we are vicariously perfected by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We see that, of course, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. Let me go further with this to say that the biblical teaching of one body per person demonstrates that the gulf between reincarnation and resurrection can never be bridged. In other words, you just can't harmonize them. The transmigration of our souls into different bodies, as in reincarnation, is something very different from what you have Paul explaining when he says in Philippians chapter 3 that Christ will transform our lowly bodies. Paul explicitly says that the body that dies is the very body that rises from the dead. So there's a one-to-one correspondence between the body that dies and the body that rises. Now, looking at my friend Elliot, his body is in very bad shape right now. Well, that's not the body that is going to be resurrected, because the body that's going to be resurrected is one that is not in bad shape. It is the same body. There's a one-to-one correspondence between the bodies. But the body that will be resurrected is immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. So he doesn't have to worry about coming back as a walrus or a wasp. He's going to come back immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. And that belief for Eliot is more clear and substantive today than it ever was in his life. He has no doubt whatsoever that though he dies, yet will he live. The Christian belief that there is only one way to God categorically demonstrates that resurrection and reincarnation will never be reconciled. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And if Christ is truly God, his claim to be the only way has to be taken seriously, which is precisely what Elliot Miller does. He takes that seriously. And he doesn't do so on blind faith, but rather he does so on the basis of faith rooted in a refutable fact. On the other hand, if Christ is merely one more person in a pantheon of pretenders, well, then you can quickly brush aside whatever he says, because it's no more important than what a later teacher would say. And that is precisely why resurrection is so essential to Christianity. Through the resurrection, Jesus demonstrates that he doesn't stand in a line of peers with Buddha or Krishna or any other founder of a world religion. They died. And they're still dead, but Christ is risen. Ultimately, resurrection and reincarnation can never be reconciled, because the former is a historical fact. The latter is but a Hindu fantasy. Again, we've got a great effective evangelism article in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. You can subscribe in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking more of your calls. 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. And we do thank all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Without you, we most certainly could not do what we are able to do in impacting the lives of people all over the world. I was talking to Elliot about the legacy of his own life. He said, I have one regret. I wish I could do more. And I had to explain to him just how much he's already done. He's cast a very large shadow on the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. And if it were not for Elliot Miller, I doubt that the Christian Research Journal would be in the hands of people even as I speak. Again, you can subscribe in a safe, sure fashion on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Don't forget the resources available for those who support the ministry, who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. We have two great resources, Union with Christ and the Spirit of the Disciplines. Check it out on the web. We'll be right back.
In his remarkable book, Union with Christ, The Way to Know and Enjoy God, Pastor Rankin Wilburn writes, "Of all the good news the gospel brings, the greatest, and indeed the door to all the rest, is that you can be united to Christ. And if Jesus has joined his life to yours, then you have been given everything you need for life and godliness. But unless you are united to him, all that he has done for you remains useless and of no value to you." To receive your copy of Union with Christ, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. In his book, Union with Christ, Pastor Rankin Wilburn shows that our neglect of union with Christ explains the gaps between our faith and our lives. When the work of Christ for us becomes abstracted from the person of Christ within us, is it any wonder there is a chasm between our beliefs and our experiences? If we're serious about being agents of change for God's kingdom, we must first realize that we cannot be transforming unless we ourselves are being transformed. And that means putting down deep roots into the life-transforming waters of God's Spirit. Be sure to read Union with Christ, The Way to Know and Enjoy God by Rankin Wilburn. Receive your copy by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or just visit online at equip.org. Hank Unplugged is a new podcast brought to you by the Christian Research Institute. For decades, millions of listeners at home and abroad have enjoyed the answers and insights of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, listeners can hear Hank Hanegraaff as he takes you out of the studio and into his study to engage in free-flowing, stimulating discussions on critical issues with some of the brightest, most interesting people on the planet. Hank Unplugged is a podcast designed to range further and dive deeper into both perennial and contemporary issues of interest to thinking Christians. To join the conversation, subscribe to Hank Unplugged on iTunes, equip.org, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And make sure you're a part of the conversation. It's a new channel of quality content that serious kingdom change agents won't want to miss. Nothing is more basic or central to knowing and enjoying God than union with Christ. It's what the Bible is all about. It's the very heart of the Christian faith and what makes the gospel good news. Yet, if you asked most people today, what is the gospel, union with Christ is likely not what springs to mind. Something is terribly amiss. Be sure to read Rankin Wilborn's essential book, Union with Christ, The Way to Know and Enjoy God. To receive your copy, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. And now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. Interesting tweet from Planned Parenthood Center in Allentown, Pennsylvania, which is a call for an alternate Disney princess. We need a Disney princess who's pro-choice. We need a Disney princess who's had an abortion. We need a Disney princess who's an undocumented immigrant. We need a Disney princess who's actually a union worker. We need a Disney princess who's trans, as in transgender. We have an issue on the Disney princesses, the ethos of the Disney princesses in the Christian Research Journal. Redeeming Princess Culture is the title of it. Another reason to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Frank in Virginia, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Frank.
Hey, hi, it's Frank. I'm in Midlothian, Virginia. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
Good, Hank. I'm glad you're doing better, and I appreciate all. I'm a physician. I appreciate all that you've been saying about yourself and Mr. Miller. Hank, here's my question. Many profess to be Christians, including our president, and yet the Bible teaches that the road is narrow and few find it. It also teaches that all are sinners and fall short of the glory of God. What I'd like you to help me understand is what assurance do we have of salvation? What assurance do we have that we have a real relationship with Christ, a saving relationship with Christ, and that we indeed are one of His?
Well, I think that what the Bible says is if we believe in Jesus Christ, then we not might have eternal life, but we do have eternal life. And so in the Christian faith, we are saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved. And so it is a wonderful assurance that we have in Scripture of salvation when we read in Philippians that Paul praises God for a confidence, and that confidence is that He who began a good work in you is going to carry that good work on in you until it is fully completed. Or if you read Jude 24, you have a guarantee that God is able to keep you from falling and that He will present you before His glorious presence without fault. I think of Ephesians where we're marked, says Paul, in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit that guarantees our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. Now, all of those quotes are direct from Scripture. They're not my words, they're the words of Scripture. So if you truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you continue to follow His ways, if you partake of the means of redemption that are available to us, the graces that He has given us within the context of the church, that process started in us will be brought to completion in us as well. And that is the hope and the guarantee that we have.
So again, the road is narrow, though, Hank. So there are many that say, profess to be Christians, but the road is narrow. That they're really not Christians? Is that what we're saying?
Well, there are many people that I would say have a said faith as opposed to having a real faith. That's true. The way is narrow, but remember that narrow way is bridged by the effulgence of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So Jesus does what we cannot do. He lives the perfect life, which we could never live. So we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And you have John, therefore, saying, I write these things to you who believe in the name of this Jesus Christ, the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. And that is the confidence, John goes on to say, that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. And that certainly includes the promise of eternal life.
Thank you so much, Hank. I appreciate it. Thank you.
You got it. And again, the assurances of Scripture are significant. But, I was listening when I was driving back in the car from seeing Elliot Miller. I was listening to James. I probably listened to it 20 times. I listened to it over and over again. It's one of my favorite books in the entire Bible. And I was thinking about how important it is that, and I think the James, or excuse me, Frank, alludes to this in the prologue to his question. James says, what good is it, my brother, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds, can such a faith save him? Or, the rhetorical question, is that an empty faith? So suppose a brother, or maybe a sister, is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, why don't you keep warm and be well fed, and does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? And then James goes on to say, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Now, I have to, again, oftentimes when I read this passage, I have to emphasize the fact that these are not my words, but I'm quoting from Scripture. James says someone is going to say, you have faith, but I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God? Well, good for you. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Well, let me give it to you. Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. Again, I'm simply quoting Scripture, not my words, words of James. And the Scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. James goes on to say, in the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. So we have the kind of faith that produces good works, and we have the assurance that as we receive the graces of God, which are given to us within the context of the body of Christ, that we will be nurtured in the faith, and our bond to Christ will be so real that even as Elliot Miller faces his own mortality, he knows that he knows that he knows that he will be resurrected, that he will have a glorified body, and he will live forever with a resurrected Christ and all of us who are Christ's. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to James, who's listening in Myrtle Beach, North Carolina, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, James.
Yes, sir. Thank you for your ministry, and it's good to talk to you today, Hank. And prayer and blessings.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
But I wanted to ask you about, we were having a Bible study, and we got into the, talking about the 119 Psalms, and I wanted to ask you, who wrote it? If is it Moses? Did Moses write it, or just who wrote the 119 Psalms? And also, if you could, tell me a little bit about Jesus and the New Covenant. How, you know, how are we supposed to do all of those things in the 119 Psalms in the New Covenant, or depending on Jesus? How would that translate?
Well, I mean, the thing that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt is that we cannot keep the old covenant laws. It is absolutely impossible for us to do that. If we tried to do that, we'll drive ourselves crazy. I was in Iran with two Jewish rabbis, Rabbi Weiss and Rabbi Rosenberg, and I was watching them as they were trying to just stay up with the dietary laws, and it is a never-ending tedium. But we see that the civil and ceremonial laws are ultimately fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So Christ, says Paul, redeemed us from that curse of the law, by becoming a curse for us. As far as Psalm 119 is concerned, the ancient Jewish tradition holds that David composed this psalm over the course of his life. And most older commentaries on the Bible will agree with that, even though the psalm itself does not tell us who the author was. So there's no direct indication, but tradition, I think, is pretty conclusive in this regard. It is arranged as an acrostic poem, and David was pretty good at acrostics. There are 22 sections composed of the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, with each line of a section beginning with a corresponding Hebrew letter, which is kind of cool as well. And those letters are all filled in as a result of the Dead Sea Scrolls, or the Qumran Scrolls, found in the 1947 period.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we was talking about it. I didn't think about David. I was thinking maybe Moses. But thanks again for your ministry, Hank.
You got it. Yeah, this I love the Psalms, and I hope a lot of people will do what I recommend in my legacy reading plan, that you read 5 Psalms a day and work yourself through the book of Psalms on an ongoing basis. I mean, you don't have to do that many, but it's wonderful to do. As part of your meditation, just to read through the Psalms, meditate on the Psalms. They are glorious. There are so many examples. I mean, think of Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly will perish. A beautiful psalm, a psalm of David, and just one of the great literary treasury that we have available to us each day. Also, Proverbs, one a day. Fantastic. We'll be right back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast on the Quote of the Day. Please stay tuned.
While millions of Christians may know a fair amount about God, they do not adequately know Him. Their spiritual walk remains little more than a cold intellectual assent to tidy packets of rational propositions, rather than a daily transformational experience of Christ that fuels a joyful life and dynamic witness. If this describes your situation, be sure to read Pastor Rankin Wilburn's remarkable book, Union with Christ, The Way to Know and Enjoy God. To receive your copy of Union with Christ, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We'll return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast right after this. Hank Unplugged is a new podcast brought to you by the Christian Research Institute. For decades, millions of listeners at home and abroad have enjoyed the answers and insights of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, listeners can hear Hank Hanegraaff as he takes you out of the studio and into his study to engage in free-flowing, stimulating discussions on critical issues with some of the brightest, most interesting people on the planet. Hank Unplugged is a podcast designed to range further and dive deeper into both perennial and contemporary issues of interest to thinking Christians. To join the conversation, subscribe to Hank Unplugged on iTunes, equip.org, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And make sure you're a part of the conversation. It's a new channel of quality content that serious kingdom change agents won't want to miss. In his book, Union with Christ, Pastor Rankin Wilburn shows that our neglect of union with Christ explains the gaps between our faith and our lives. When the work of Christ for us becomes abstracted from the person of Christ within us, is it any wonder there is a chasm between our beliefs and our experiences? If we're serious about being agents of change for God's kingdom, we must first realize that we cannot be transforming unless we ourselves are being transformed. And that means putting down deep roots into the life-transforming waters of God's Spirit. Be sure to read Union with Christ, The Way to Know and Enjoy God by Rankin Wilburn. Receive your copy by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or just visit online at equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. In the book, Union with Christ, Pastor Rankin Wilburn writes, "Our neglect of union with Christ explains the gaps between our faith and our lives. When the work of Christ for us becomes abstracted from the person of Christ within us, is it any wonder there is a chasm between our heads and our hearts, or between our beliefs and our experiences?" Don't miss Pastor Wilburn's Union with Christ, The Way to Know and Enjoy God. To receive your copy, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you so much, Randy. The quote of the day comes from Leo Tolstoy, who needs no introduction. Probably everybody listening to my voice knows who he is. He's a Russian author, regarded as one of the greatest authors of all time. He died just 4 years before the Bolshevik Revolution under an angry revolutionary, Vladimir Lenin. Tolstoy said this, "Men are so accustomed to establish and defend their existence by violence, by bayonets and bullets, prisons and gallows, that it seems to them as if such an arrangement of life were not only normal, but were the only one possible. Yet it is just this arrangement and maintenance of the commonwealth by violence that does most to hinder people from comprehending the causes of their sufferings, and consequently from being able to establish a true order. Again, the quote of the day by Leo Tolstoy, another gem in the arsenal of quotes. You know, these are quotes that sometimes take a little pondering, but they're all worth the effort that you put into them. A question on Facebook by Alan Dean, is it biblically acceptable or is a sin to cremate a born-again Christian when God takes them home in death? Again, since I was talking about the imminent death of Elliot Miller, who is terminal, unless God heals him, which God most certainly can. But obviously, that when you face these life and death issues, you face questions that are not just simply interesting, but they have real import for you. And certainly cremation has become increasingly popular as a means for disposing of the dead. In fact, I have read that more than 40% of Americans are now cremated at death. And while those who opt for cremation often do so for, well, for emotional reasons, sometimes for economical reasons, there are even ecological considerations that people have with respect to cremation as opposed to burial. But I think that there are compelling reasons for Christians to choose burial. And the first reason is the biblical reason, which is to say that Scripture clearly favors burial over cremation. There's an Old Testament pattern, and that was always burial, except in highly unusual circumstances. And you see the same thing forwarded in the New Testament, where Paul equates baptism with both burial and resurrection in Romans chapter 6. A second point that I would make in this regard, Alan, is burial symbolizes the promise of resurrection, how it anticipates the preservation of the body. Cremation is different in this regard. It better symbolizes the pagan worldview of reincarnation. So, while someone who believes in resurrection looks forward to the restoration of the body, if you're a reincarnationist, you look forward to being relieved from your body. Now, that's a distinction that really matters. Those are two polar opposite worldviews. So what you have here is burial highlighting the sanctity of the body. In the Christian worldview, the body is significant. Why? Because there's numerical identity between the body that is and the body that will be, between the body you now have and your resurrected body. So while God has no problem whatsoever resurrecting the cremated, cremation does not point to the resurrection of God. Now, having said all of that, can a Christian be cremated? And I think the answer is yes. But if a Christian is cremated, and God has no problem whatsoever resurrecting the cremated, if a Christian is cremated, there has to be a double portion in terms of a homily or sermon in which the importance of resurrection, bodily, physical resurrection, is stressed, in which you make great effort to let those there who are now vulnerable to the reality of their own mortality know that the Christian worldview is not platonic, it's very physical. We believe that there is a body that will be resurrected, and that body is not another body, but it is this body. Now, that does not presuppose that every atom is resuscitated in resurrection. Not at all. What it does presuppose is that there is a correspondence between the body that is and the body that will be, and thus God has no more difficulty resurrecting the cremated than resurrecting the burial. But again, the salient point here is that resurrection points, or burial points, to the resurrection, as opposed to the cremation, which points away from it. It points to the whole idea of escape from the body in the Eastern context. So again, you have to go to some effort to explain the difference, and this is the time to do it, because when there's a funeral, people start thinking about their own mortality, and this is a great, great opportunity to reach people with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Also, wanted to deal with a question that came up I didn't get to the other day. Jennifer was asking, she is in Monroe, North Carolina, she was asking what happens to a person who dies without hearing of Jesus Christ. And since we're on the theme of death, and death is not morbid for Christians, since we're on that theme, let me answer that question as well. What happens to a person who dies without ever hearing about Jesus Christ? It is certainly one of the most frequently asked questions on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And, we have a corresponding question here. Will God condemn people to hell for not believing in someone they've never heard of? Well, the answer to those questions is that people are not condemned to hell for not believing in Jesus. They're already condemned because of sin. So the real question becomes not how can God send someone to hell, but how can God condescend to save any one of us? You know, if ignorance is not a ticket to heaven, we can be absolutely certain of that. Ignorance is not a ticket to heaven. If it were a ticket to heaven, the greatest evangelistic enterprise would not be crusade evangelism, but a concerted cover-up campaign, the kind of campaign that would focus on ending evangelism. You get rid of the Bibles, close the churches, and soon no one will hear of Jesus Christ and everyone will be on their way to heaven. It should be emphasized that everyone has the light of both creation and conscience. So no matter where you are, you have a way of knowing about God. So in truth, there is no ignorance in the real sense of the word. We should also recognize that God is not a capricious God. So if we respond to the light that we have, God will give us more light. And Paul makes that plain when he says, from one man he made every nation of men that they may inhabit the entire earth, and then he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. And then Paul says God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. So God has given us light. The question is, are we going to respond to the light? Are we going to reject the light? So getting back to the question, what happens to a person who dies without ever hearing of Jesus? The answer to that question is, it's not the absence of light that damns, it is the despising of light that damns. And the beautiful thing is, as I quoted from Paul, we all have light. God gives all of us light. Sometimes that light is the light of creation that we can respond to, and sometimes that light is the light of Christ that we can respond to. But if we respond to light, God will give us more light. He wants us to have intimacy with him. Of course, some say that those who lived before the time of Christ were saved by keeping the law, but the scripture says they're not saved in that way at all. The Bible from first to last demonstrates that the saved throughout history come to faith in exactly the same way, by grace alone, through faith on account of Christ. The Apostle Paul quoted the Old Testament extensively to drive home the reality that no one has been or ever will be declared righteous by observing the law. And Paul pointed to Abraham, the father of the Jews, to prove that salvation comes through faith apart from the works that we perform. If, in fact, Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. Because the scripture says Abram believed God, it was credited to him as righteousness. Jesus Christ, of course, is in whatever epoch of time, the substance that fulfills the types and the shadows of the Old Testament. Each year, the Jews celebrated the Passover to keep them focused on the one who was to come to die for their sins. And the book of Hebrews is beautiful in saying that the law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. Bottom line, Jesus Christ stands at the apex of history. So just as people today look back in history to Christ's sacrifice on the cross, so too people who lived before the time of Christ look forward to his sacrifice for them. The scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, "In you all the nations will be blessed." That comes, of course, from Paul's writing in Galatians. So Jennifer, the person who dies without ever hearing of Jesus Christ, remember, it's not the absence of truth that damns. It is the despising of the way, the truth, and the life that damns. And if we search for light, we will be given light. Now, the normal means by which we get that light is through the agency of humanity. So God uses us as those who are ambassadors. We ought to be ambassadors, not secret agents, but he uses human agency. That's a typical way. But God can reach people sovereignly without human agency. Saul, who became Paul, is a classic example of that. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll be back tomorrow with more of the show. Remember, as always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. And a shout out to those who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. Your gifts are deeply appreciated, used for God's glory and for the extension of his kingdom. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. The resources, Union with Christ, and the Spirit of the Disciplines, check them out on the web. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. As thanks for your gift in support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the book Union with Christ, The Way to Know and Enjoy God by Rankin Wilburn. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or just visit online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Hank Unplugged is a new podcast brought to you by the Christian Research Institute. For decades, millions of listeners at home and abroad have enjoyed the answers and insights of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, listeners can hear Hank Hanegraaff as he takes you out of the studio and into his study to engage in free-flowing, stimulating discussions on critical issues with some of the brightest, most interesting people on the planet. Hank Unplugged is a podcast designed to range further and dive deeper into both perennial and contemporary issues of interest to thinking Christians. To join the conversation, subscribe to Hank Unplugged on iTunes, equip.org, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And make sure you're a part of the conversation. It's a new channel of quality content that serious kingdom change agents won't want to miss. In his book, Union with Christ, Pastor Rankin Wilburn shows that our neglect of union with Christ explains the gaps between our faith and our lives. When the work of Christ for us becomes abstracted from the person of Christ within us, is it any wonder there is a chasm between our beliefs and our experiences? If we're serious about being agents of change for God's kingdom, we must first realize that we cannot be transforming unless we ourselves are being transformed. And that means putting down deep roots into the life-transforming waters of God's Spirit. Be sure to read Union with Christ, The Way to Know and Enjoy God by Rankin Wilburn. Receive your copy by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or just visit online at equip.org.